Hi, the name's New Bronner, Dion New Bronner. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership, where I chew the fat with guests from many walks of life. Yep, I ponder the big questions, and we play around with some less significant ones too. I sometimes unpick the practice of leadership, delving into what it means to many. We laugh and we explore what it is to live with purpose and meaning. I hope you find the chat as useful as I have having it. Life, purpose, leadership. My guest today is Sam Pierce of SWOT Books, a stress-free life to self-publishing. Sam helps business owners, thought leaders, and coaches publish their own books professionally, credibly, and ethically. But for me, the best bit was when we got talking about her story, which is encapsulated in her latest book, From Broken to Brave, an incredible struggle from domestic abuse to helping others find their voice. Hello, Sam Pierce.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad, yeah.
Stress-free publishing.
Yeah, I try to keep on brand as much as I can.
You have an American accent. Where's that from?
It's actually Canadian. So I was actually born in the UK, but my family moved to Toronto when I was five, six, somewhere around there, because my mum wanted me to have a Canadian education. And then I moved back in 2003. So grew up in Toronto, pretty much do consider myself a Torontonian.
We, as human beings, we always sort of pick up on little nuances. And then those, I guess what I'm saying is those nuances then become something to talk about. But yeah, they are actually important, I think, because they provide us with a sense of identity. Even though we don't admit it ourselves, the little things like accent, where am I from, what do I like and dislike, what do I stand for, who am I, all of those things can be seen as little things, but there are much bigger things in the wider context of our lives, of the world.
Yeah. And then I also think it's a really great way for people to use as, you know, sort of remember cues of people who they've met. Oh, that person from Toronto, or, you know, they're really, really into, you know, football, or, you know, those little things makes it easier for people to remember you. Because, you know, with you know, today's modern society of borderless interactions. The number of people that you interact with on a daily basis has just skyrocketed. If there's some little thing that makes you easily rememberable, yes, it forms part of your identity, but it also makes it easier for other people as well to remember you.
I like that, actually, because that ties in quite nicely to the concept or the practice of publishing a book, because that does exactly the same, doesn't it? It says, here I am, this is me, and it contributes to my identity.
Yeah. Quite often I'll introduce myself as author first and then self-publishing consultant second. And author is, you know, what I am. Publishing consultant is what I do. So, you know, it's interesting the way that we identify ourselves by things that make us unique.
I love the distinction you have made. I'm writing it down. What I am versus what I do.
Both are important, and both are a way of identifying yourself, and also for other people to identify with you. But they are very, very distinct, and they can sometimes cross over, but they don't have to.
Do I think they cross over? What I am, what I do. Sorry.
That's got you thinking on a Monday morning.
I just had a little moment for myself. I think they cross over if what I do is driven by what I am. I'll give you an example.
Yeah, okay.
I have spent my life doing loads of different things. Loads of different things, and they've been doing stuff both professionally and personally. the latter part of my life has been involved in helping people find purpose and meaning.
Yeah.
If I boil that down into a word that describes it, that describes me and describes what I am in that context, the word is teach. And actually, the little aha moment, surprise, facial expression that you saw was around that word, because I tell a story many, many, many times about where I come from and what I do and how I got to my journey. And mm-hmm. indeed, my book does that.
Yeah.
But I am a teacher. Mm. I am that. I was like a formal teacher once before, geography. Okay. But even when I remember being back at school, people used to ask me for help, particularly in geography class. I was very good at geography, and they used to come to me and ask me, and I used to help them. And when you said that to me, what I am, what I do, that's what made me think what I do is driven by what I am. And therein lies the crossover.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think then the synergy as well. And of, you know, all of the amazing authors that I've worked with, one thing that's always become very, very apparent is that what somebody does and what they and associate themselves with being, so what they are, if those two do coincide, those people do tend to be just generally happier, more successful. They enjoy then their work. It's not work, because it's, you know, it's just, you know, natural to them. It's an extension of who they are, and it's just a benefit that they get paid for it.
Yeah. Brilliant. I think that's the Holy Grail.
Yeah, very much.
So I do this online version of what I used to do in a formal residential retreat before lockdown, mm-hmm. which is basically helping them to do what I've just suggested, find purpose and meaning. I dress it up in a leadership context, because most of the people that I work with will have had a team or have a team or are earmarked mm-hmm. to become something bigger and better for themselves in the organization that they work in. But most of those people come to that experience, this online version of, I call it truthful leadership, that experience looking to get help with doing, yet the doing element of leadership. And what I find the most beautiful thing ever on the planet is that they begin to realize who they are, what I am.
Yeah.
And that's why I say I think that's the Holy Grail. I think it's in life, if we can create a path that is both those things, and it serves us both from an internal intrinsic perspective, but also us earning money or being able to live, then I think that's a wonder. But hey, we haven't even talked about you. I haven't even sort of said, hi, who's Sam Pierce, right? Who is Sam Pierce?
Sam Pierce is someone who just really, really enjoys helping other people get their story told. I'm a very, very firm believer in freedom of speech. Books are an amazing way of telling stories, passing on knowledge, providing inspiration, you know, and all of these and amazing things that society needs. Traditional publishing industry, though, you know, definitely has, you know, a firm place in the world, the way in which they just naturally have to work kind of limits that whole freedom of speech thing, because they have to be very, very particular in the books that they take on board. But it means that there are some amazing stories and amazing books that need to be told that, you know, will genuinely help people, but because they won't help enough people, they don't get, you know, traditional publishing deals. So, you know, my passion and what's in effect become my identity now is helping people to take that journey of publishing themselves, doing it to a professional, credible standard, you know, doing all of the exact same things that a publisher would do. It's just helping them do it for themselves under their own control, their own management, with me guiding them through the entire process start to finish.
I do sign up to the fact that, yes, everybody does have a story. We have a life. Mm-hmm.
We have
a story. And there are those that aren't as well remembered as some have as equally powerful, interesting, fascinating, motivating, educating story. Mm. What I want to find out is, what's really important to Sam? What do you really love most in the world?
That's easy. That's helping people to find their own voice and to use it.
So this comes back, you said right at the beginning, where you believed in the whole free speech thing and all of that.
Very much so.
And as a teenager?
I was bullied a lot at school. All of the situations that I talk about in From Broken to Brave, of, you know, all of the difficult points that I had in my life, they all narrowed down to me either losing my identity or my voice and my place.
Losing? How do you mean losing?
Either having it taken away from me, right, or having my confidence knocked to the point where I don't have the courage to use my voice or my identity. You know, I intentionally put myself back as, you know, the wallflower. Don't say anything. Don't speak up. Don't stand out, because you'll open yourself up to ridicule or bullying. I think all of my experiences have been, well, I know what it's like to lose your voice, to not have the courage to use your voice. That's why I'm so passionate about helping people
find
and use their own voice through the power of books. That's something that I've just realized now. And that's a pretty powerful connection, where even though I've been in the publishing industry, 6-7 years now. This has been building for a long time. The path that I've taken through my life has very much brought me to, this is my calling. This is what I should be doing, because all of the experiences that I've had have molded me in such a way to be able to really, really help authors, because I can empathize with a lot of the things that they're experiencing, of being afraid to put their voice out there. They know they have a story, but then they're worried about what's going to happen when they tell it. Those who are not worried about how to tell it, making sure that they tell it in the best way possible that's going to benefit them the most.
Which was a struggle for you to do as a teenager and as a young adult, therefore. Then.
Yeah. Because of, you know, all the chaos and everything going on around me.
So you've literally taken your own struggle and made
it into a career. Yeah. Wow. That's a revelation. That's going to stump me for the rest of the day now. Wow.
Your struggle has brought about the business. Use your struggle as the framework for your business.
Yeah, without even realizing it.
Okay, I want to come back to this point about we all have a unique story, and perhaps the point that I was making earlier there about probably not as confident at telling that story.
I said it's something that, you know, and I latched onto, you know, very, very early on, is this whole idea that you need to hear or learn something in a particular way for it to resonate with you personally. So it's something that I get asked by authors and a lot is, oh, there are already, you know, tons of books on my subject. Why should I even bother? You know, my answer is always the same, that it could very well take you telling your story from your particular perspective. Everyone's perspective is, you know, as unique as a fingerprint. And sometimes it can take someone needing to hear it in your exact way in order for them to really, really get it. So yes, there may be hundreds, thousands of books on the same subject, but somebody may need yours in order for them to get the lesson. Mm-hmm. And by denying somebody that, because there are, you know, you think, oh, there's loads of other books, why should I bother? Is no reason to not go for it and publish a book. Your book will never be anything like anyone else's book.
I like that. I've written down, language shapes us. And it's true. The words that I choose to tell a story, the words that I choose, the intonation that I put on those words, the emphasis, the intent behind it, all of that is unique to me.
Yeah, and formed by your life experience, which is completely and totally unique to you. You know, and even if you had a twin brother, his experience is going to be slightly different than yours.
Too true. What's on the horizon for you now?
This past 18 months has been a very, very interesting roller coaster. for me. The pandemic's been this weird blessing in disguise, because so many authors and, you know, just people in general that I've spoken to in the past have always said, oh, I would love to write a book, but I don't have the time. Suddenly everybody found themselves with, you know, all of this time, especially if they were put on furlough or they had, you know, one of the government grants or anything like that. Their bills were being paid, but they still weren't doing anything with their, you know, day-to-day time. And so many people took advantage of that, thinking, well, you know, when am I ever going to get this opportunity again? Let's, you know, tick some of those things on off the bucket list. And writing books has been a really, really big one. I read a statistic a couple of months ago that September 6th last year, there were a record number of books published in a single day. And that's a record since publishing started. So the most number of books published in one day happened during the COVID pandemic. And it's meant that I've been busier than ever. But what I'm seeing now that, you know, the world is opening up, I kind of expected things to go back to the plateau that they were before. And it isn't. So, you know, and I foresee that the increase in consumption of books and over the pandemic, because everyone's been reading more because they've had more time, people have been writing more again because they have more time, I think a lot of people are realizing the power that books and words have, that we kind of lost a little bit because everything was so digital. But then when it was forced to go digital, people kind of missed the analog. And now that there's kind of this, you know, sort of weird melting pot of digital and analog kind of all together, and people now appreciating both more than they did before.
Well, it comes back to that point that we've just been making about my story, our story. It comes back to that. We as human beings love to tell stories. We love to listen to stories too. So we love to hear stories and read stories. So I wonder what is your story then, Sam?
My story is quite roundabout, actually. I don't come from a publishing background. I come from a graphic design background. I trained as a corporate graphic designer, and I fell into books completely by accident. And it was very much a phoenix from the ashes kind of story. I was a design and marketing manager for a car audio company. I got made redundant in the economic crash of 2009, 2-3 weeks before Christmas, that I got the news. It's like, nobody's hiring graphic designers. Nobody's hiring, you know, marketeers or things like that. What am I going to do? I don't want to do anything else. I'm not trained to do anything else. And a family friend said, well, continue doing it, but doing it for yourself in industries that have not been hit by the economic crash. That allowed me to actually start my own design agency and survive that first few crucial years while the UK economy was turning around. Brilliant. Great. And I remember one afternoon I had a phone call from one of my book design clients who this company had passed to me. At the time, my back was right up against the wall. I was literally living day to day thinking, I'm going to have to fold this and get a regular job again and at some point. And he rang me up and it's like, you know those books you've been designing for me? Well, we've got a self-publishing account that a guy is managing for us, but he's relocating to Australia. Do you mind taking over our publishing management for us? And I'm like, okay, I've never done it before. Sure, why not? How hard can it be? And he said, yeah, then not a problem. You know, I appreciate this is all going to be new for you. And to this day, I remember the exact words he said. He said, don't worry, I will only let you loose on my books before I let you loose on my clients' books. That was the day that Swap Books was born. And that was 7 years ago. And what, 220 odd books later?
Wow.
And it really is, you know, this phoenix from the ashes story, you know. And I was on the ropes, ready to give up, had the courage to offer the lifeline that was, you know, given to me, even though it was completely and totally out of my comfort zone, something I had never done before at all. It was the best decision I ever made.
And therein lies the line, what I do has become what I am.
Definitely. I've always loved books since I was a kid. I've loved design since I was a kid. I can now do both and also allow the helper facilitator in me out to help people achieve, in you know, many cases, the lifelong ambitions for people to want to be a published author.
I'm very intrigued with the line, I loved books as a child. So were you a bookworm then? Did you love reading?
Oh, yeah. And that started at a really, really early age. You know, my parents would always read to me when I was a kid. I was one of those kids, oh, one more story, Daddy, one more. Funny enough, my parents moved back to Canada recently, and my mum was going through some old things, and she found my favorite book from a child, which was the Christopher Robin illustrated poems.
I do really love the fact that you loved books as a child. I think it's wonderful. I read to my 9-year-old. He reads very well now, but he too loves reading on his own, which I find wonderful. And the most important bit I love, or the most wonderful bit I love, is when he actually reads to me. It is the most beautiful sound. It's stunning. At the moment, I'm reading him, The Alchemist. But the joy and the beautiful connection that you can have with someone because there is an understanding of a story is wonderful. It really is. Yeah.
Yeah. Being able to touch someone else's life in a very personal way through a story that you've told is an amazing feeling.
And would you say that at the time, in the darkest of hours, there has always been a self-belief? Or is it you look back now in hindsight and you could say, I did have the courage to move beyond the experience? Did I always have the self-belief that I suggest I do have now when I look back at that period of time? In other words, in hindsight, I suggest I had self-belief. But at the time, do I believe that I have self-belief?
I think it's a case of, in the moment, no, you probably don't think you do. But I think it's always there somewhere, or else you wouldn't have gotten yourself out of the situation to begin with. There has to be something there
in
order to change it. But when you're in the middle of it, you can't see the wood from the trees.
Mm.
I do think it does take the benefit of hindsight to be able to see that.
Mm.
But at the time, it is there. You just don't see it because you're in the middle of it.
Yeah. Perseverance is a value of mine, which I, funnily enough, always thought was never. Well, I think it's a value and a strength.
Mm-hmm.
I never believed that I had the ability to persevere or stick at something or keep going. I confused my desire to want to do different things and be distracted by shiny objects, which is a very Dion thing. But actually, as an adult looking back at my life and career, they're two distinctly different things. I love being attracted to shiny objects and go off and do something, but I also persevere in certain aspects of personal life or in business and keep going.
Mm.
So I just found it fascinating to be able to look back and say to oneself, yes, this is my story. This is who I am. This is what I've done. And this is what I stand for. And I think your book, the second book, From Broken to Brave, is about that. It's about saying, this is who I am. This is where I've come from. This is what I've done. And really what you're saying is that you have done something hugely beneficial and wonderful for other people as a consequence of your struggle. And I think that is stunningly beautiful. I think that's wonderful. And even listening to you talking, you can tell you do it from the heart.
Oh yeah.
That is the essence of you, that you have to do it.
Yeah, it very much is. I think people who discover that, either through intent or apparent luck in my case, you know, they are the luckiest people in the world, because no matter what they do, if they do it from a point of what really, really resonates with them, then they will never be bored. They will never be, working in, you know, finding your, you know, your calling and your purpose and doing, you know, what you are. It isn't going to make everything plain, you know, plain sailing. There are going to be the rocky points, but the passion that you have for who you are and what you do will help you through those periods, I think, a lot easier than somebody who hasn't had the benefit of finding that out yet. They will have a harder time getting through the tough periods because they don't have that that passion, that, you know, genuine self-belief that what they are doing is right.
Is who they are.
Mm. Yeah.
I love this conversation. Thank you so very much.
Not a problem, Deanna. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you.
So that's it. The name's Neubronner, Dion Neubronner. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership.